that you are saved and ready to meet the Lord, because we do believe the time is short.
Yeah. Yes.
And, amen.
Raise a hand.
Yep.
And I know each one of us, the time gets shorter each year for us, but I know it's shorter also as to the coming of the
yes.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! All right, let's open our Bibles this morning, if you would please, to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. This morning, Jeremiah chapter 3, and we're going to read some verses there, verse 6 down through verse 14 today, and then we'll finish up reading verse 22, part of it together this morning. Jeremiah chapter 3. We have a Scofield Bible, it's page 775. You have a Scofield Bible, and if that page number don't line up for you, it don't necessarily mean you got the wrong kind of Bible. It just means you don't have a Scofield Bible.
Amen.
But we do hope you have a King James Bible today, and we can read together this verse 22 in just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 6. The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she hath done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. It came to pass through the likeness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery, not with people, but with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but frigidly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return thou backslidden Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful.
Amen.
Saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever.
Thank you,
Lord. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers which under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backslidden children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will make you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. We'll read verse 22 together to the word slidings. Return, ye backslidden children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Thank you, may be seated this morning. Lord, we come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the reading of the Word of God. And now we need the Holy Spirit to help us make application, not just to Israel and Judah, but Lord, to make application to our own day and time and even our own lives today. Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit today, Lord, to give us some liberty. We know that the Bible said a rebellious people, they dwell in a dry and a thirsty land. And we know the atmosphere of this rebellious nation, Lord, today is dry. And we know those that long for the Lord are thirsty. And we just pray this morning that God, you speak to our hearts today. Let us hear from heaven. They wouldn't hear Rick Prophet today. But I pray they'd hear the Lord God speaking through Rick Prophet today. And I pray that we might take these truths that God has recorded for us and preserved for us in the Bible. And that we might read them and not just say, well, that's for somebody else. But Lord, that we might apply them to our own lives today. Lord, I pray you speak to the disheartened, the discouraged, Lord, the disgusted. I pray today, God, that you speak to those that, Lord, are lost without Christ. And Lord, that you have your way this morning in this service. We'll thank you for all you do, because we know if anything's done that's going to last for eternity, you'll have to do it. And we ask it all today in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I've been preaching some messages on you might be. And I realize you're probably getting tired of them. And if I don't quit preaching them, I might not have a church if I don't quit preaching these you might be messages. Amen. But I feel like the Lord has laid them upon my heart and God has gave them to me. And I preached on you might be a hypocrite. And we looked at that. I preached on you might be a Pharisee. And last week I preached on you might be saved if. And of course there's a lot of these things are endless when you get to looking at them. Of all these things that they put out, different things. You might be a redneck. You might be this or you might be that. But there's also just in every way. And last week I read you one about you might be a preacher's wife. And then the week before that I read that you might be a preacher if. But today, just as kind of getting into the sermon this morning, I want to read one that said you might be a preacher's kid if. And I think both of my kids have had to leave today. I regret that. Amen. You know, it says you might be a preacher's kid if you know who the unquestionable, unmentionable names are in every sermon story. You might be a preacher's kid if you know the unmentionable names in every sermon story. You have put in hours of waiting for your parents to stop talking and lock up the church. Yeah. You might be a preacher's kid. You're sick of certain sermon illustrations. You might be a preacher's kid. You are guaranteed embarrassing stories are going to be told about you in church. You might be a preacher's kid. You work your entire life to avoid going into the ministry, but more than likely you'll end up in it anyway. You either are expected to be a perfect child or a flat-out rebel. You've been told that either you'll become a preacher or you'll end up in jail. I've heard that before. You know that for every Bible story there is a VeggieTales. And Christian rock actually sounds good. You went on a vacation and always left on Sunday night. Yeah, you're a preacher's kid if that happens. You automatically greet everybody with a handshake. You're scared to death to go to the bathroom during service, even after you're 30 years old. Your dad has to check all the lights and locks because someone else didn't show up to church. You come home from church smelling like perfume because all the older ladies in the church hugged you. So that's the way it goes. Amen. All right. Well, we're not preaching about preacher's kids today, but just opening there into the sermon this morning. But in the chapter that we read today, I don't know if you noticed or not, but there in verse 6, the Bible uses the word backsliding. In verse 8, it uses the word backsliding. In verse 11, it uses the word backsliding. In verse 12, it uses the word backsliding. In verse 14, it uses the word backsliding. And in verse 22, it uses the word backsliding. Amen. Backslider, backsliding, and backslidings are all Old Testament words. Amen. It will not be found one time in the New Testament. That's not because people in the New Testament cannot backslide. The word is not used, but yet we know different places in the New Testament we find people that have backslidden. You say, what's it mean to backslide? Well, the Bible defines it for us in Jeremiah 8 and 5. He said, Jerusalem is slidden back. There is a difference in backsliding, and there is a difference in backsliding and in just turning back. There is a difference. When you just quit the Lord and just turn back, that's different than the word backsliding. That word means as if you were going up a creek or a river in a canoe and you're paddling to go up there and you don't turn around, you don't start going the other way, but you just quit rolling.
Yes.
When you quit rolling, you start going backwards. That's where the word comes in at. We are living in a backslidden nation. We realize that. If you don't realize that, you're blind. If you don't realize that, you've got mental problems. We are living in a backslidden country. The church as a whole is backslidden. I'm talking about the whole church all across the world is backslidden. And the question this morning is, as a Christian, are you and I backslidden? Well, we want to use that this morning, Brother Eddie. And I want to use that thought that you might be a backslider if. There is ways to tell, you see. You say, well, a person would know if they was or not. Well, some don't. You'd be surprised how many people are that don't realize that they are backslidden on the Lord. You say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and I don't really care. If that's your attitude, you need an attitude adjustment.
Amen.
If the only thing you're concerned about is going to heaven, brother, you need to go back to the elements where you started and go all over again. Because there's a whole lot more to it than just going to heaven. I want you to realize this morning that Jeremiah, that he wrote about this. He probably uses that word more than any book in the Bible. Jeremiah uses that word. Hosea will use that word some in the last chapter of Hosea. But as the most part, Jeremiah uses the word, because Jeremiah lived in a time when Israel and Judah were backslidden as a nation. Now, Proverbs 14:14, it gives us a verse there, and it lets us see something there about backsliding. And it says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. So we're told there that if we're filled with our own ways, we might be a backslider. Amen. You say, what do you mean? Well, when you got saved, you found the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody can come unto the Father but by me. When the Lord found you and you found the Lord, you found the way. Amen. It was a new way. It was a different way. But you know what? If we're not careful, even after we have found the way, we can start reverting back and digressing back into our old ways. Our old ways. You see, the Lord's way was not my way. If you act right now the way you did before you got saved, after you got saved, you're not saved. You say, what do you mean? If there was never a change in your life, if you went to the altar, knelt down, made a profession, even asked the Lord to save you, but there was no change in your life, you got up from there, went back, still cussing, still drinking, still living in adultery, still fornicating, if you went back without any break in sin or any change from your sin, you did not get saved. I'm tired of trying to pamper people and make them think they're saved when they ain't got no evidence that they have been saved. Amen. I tell you, listen, the Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new, the Bible said. And I believe the Bible. You believe what you want. I believe what the Bible says. When people get saved, there's a change in people's life. Amen. And if there ain't, there's a problem.
Amen.
Hosea 11:7 said, my people are bent to backsliding. You say, what's that mean? That means that we're bent that way.
Amen.
It's easy for us to do it because we lean that way. Amen. You see, we're bent toward backsliding. It's a lot easier for us to slide back from Him than it is for us to slide to Him. Amen. Did you know the Christian life's uphill, brother? Yes, sir. We're climbing. It's a climbing thing. Somebody said it's easy. Christian life's easy, depending on what kind of Christian life you're living. If you're trying to live a dedicated Christian life, a sold out life, brother, it ain't easy. Amen. It's possible, but it ain't easy. I'll tell you that. No, sure, it's a battle every day. And you see, because we're bent toward backsliding.
Yeah.
I planted some little trees here around the church back in the spring. And because they leaned a certain way, I had to drive a metal fence post in the ground. And I had to get me a little string and pull it over that way. You say, why? Because it was bent in the wrong direction. You say, if you and me, if we're going to keep from backsliding and backsliding, we got to be tied to some things that's going to keep us from going in the wrong way. I tell you, you need to be tied to a good church. You need to be tied to a good preaching church where they preach the Word of God. They teach the Word of God. I tell you, listen, you need to be tied to some things. Why? Because you and I have been in the wrong direction. That's why. And I'll tell you, brother, I don't know anybody that don't go to church. I don't know anybody that don't go to church unless they're sick and in the nursing home or they're physically not able. I don't know of anybody that don't go to church that's a good Christian. You say, I do. Well, I don't. How can they be a good Christian when they don't even do what God said to do? And He said, don't forsake your strength. Have yourself together.
Amen.
Amen.
You need the church. If you didn't, Christ would have died for us.
Right, brother.
Amen. And set it up. Amen.
Amen.
See, that's the end. That's where when He found the man that was along the side, that's a picture of a sinner that had been beaten up, left for dead.
Right.
But when He found him, He took him and He put him in the inn. That's the church.
Amen.
And He said, take care of him until I come back. Amen.
Amen.
You see here, He says that we need to be tied to some things.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praying.
Glory.
Yeah.
Going through the pages of that Bible.
Glory.
Every week. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Somebody told a fellow, said, you ought to read your Bible. He said, I have read it. Well, if you don't read it, then quit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
You read it and then you reread it.
Yes.
Right.
Then you read it some more.
Yeah.
Right.
You say, why? Because that Bible is too vast to read. Too deep a book for anybody to go through it even 100 times and get all that's in it. Amen. That is the richest book that there is on the planet. It's the Word of God.
Yeah.
And you've studied all your life and you'll find out you learned some things the wrong way. You learned some things that wasn't that way. You learned some things that you never did know. We need to be tied to the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. We need that. Now, notice here. Let's look at our text. Let's examine it here in just a minute. He said, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Where does it start at?
Right. Mm.
He said, the backslider in heart.
Oh, me, brother.
Yeah.
You see, you could be backslidden
right
inside.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
A long time before it shows up outside.
That's right.
You're right.
Right.
See, it starts in the inside.
Yeah.
Down at the end of my yard, if you were to come out there this evening, I have a little dogwood bush, not a tree, a bush. I didn't know there was such a thing, but I bought it and planted it, and it didn't look like a regular dogwood, and I got to looking at it, and it's because it's not a regular dogwood, it's a dogwood bush. And I planted it, and this year I began to notice how that it looked great. It's all green and it looked good. But I began to notice that one branch coming out of that dogwood tree or bush on the side of my house, one branch began to dry up and die. The rest of it looked okay. I thought, what's going on? And Zach's been mowing the yard for me this year a lot. And I really thought he'd hit it with a mower and broke it. But on closer examination, it wasn't Zach's fault. On closer examination, I found out that the ground all around that dogwood bush looks like somebody plowed it. And them disgusting moles have dug that up, and they meet all around that dogwood tree. And I think the problem is that down and under, they probably eat into that section that went to them. And if that's not the case, then I know what it is, because I've had about 10 others to die like that. And what it is a little worm that gets in there, and it goes right up through the center of that dogwood tree, and then it eventually will kill it. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying the problem, it started down under. Yeah, the problem, it starts down inside. Yeah. The problem is that it starts in the heart, amen. Yeah. And it may show up inside, but a long time before it shows up outside.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Somebody said so and so. They quit the church the other day. Well, no, in reality, they probably quit about a year ago.
Right.
See, it's a process. It starts in the heart. That's where it starts in. That's why the Bible tells us to guard your heart with all diligence.
Amen.
For out of it are the issues of life. Amen. We need to let the Lord examine our heart.
That's right.
Always, because that's where backsliding starts. In the heart.
David said.
I don't have time to go into all the things that can happen, but a little bitterness.
Amen. Yeah.
Somebody in the church you've got a little riff with,
and
you don't like it, and it's down deep inside in your heart. If you don't get it out of there, it'll destroy you.
Amen.
Right now, you're like that dogwood bush. Right now, it's just showing up a little bit on one limb.
Right.
One limb.
Right.
You know, like that one you shake hands with.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Listen. You don't shake anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen.
You see, it can happen.
Yeah, brother.
And we have to guard our heart.
Amen.
For the enemy, because it don't start on outside. It starts on the inside.
Amen.
And then it makes a progression. You see what he said? The backslider in heart shall be filled.
Mm.
Yeah. So it starts out a little bit.
Right. Mm.
But if you don't let Jesus fix that thing,
you're right.
You'll be filled with it the next thing you know.
Amen.
You'll be filled with it. You'll be filled with bitterness. You'll be filled with anger. You'll be filled with disgust. You'll be filled with all these things that are just going to fill you up. He said you'll be filled with your own ways.
Amen.
You see, when we get saved, give ourselves to the Lord, dedicate ourselves to God, which most people never do.
Amen, brother.
Right.
But if you do, you belong to the Lord.
Yes. Right. Amen.
You're bought with a price.
Amen.
And so, I still have a way. I still have a way because I still have the flesh, and the flesh still walks this way.
Yep. Amen.
Right.
I don't know about your flesh, but mine didn't want to come this morning.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
You say you're the preacher, and I'm just the sinner saved the grace.
Amen.
Amen.
I still got flesh.
Amen. Amen.
You see, it starts a progression there along the way, and because it, Brother Eddie, because of our flesh, we have to let the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, He has to take control of our life.
Bless Him, Lord.
Amen.
In other words, when your flesh, when you wake up Sunday morning and your flesh says, don't go to Sunday school, your spirit has got to take control of that.
Amen.
And your spirit has says, well, I know you don't want to go, but we're not doing our way. We're doing God's way.
Amen.
And He wants us to go. And so we're going to let the Lord have His way.
Ooh, glory to God.
I'm always hearing people say this. Well, I just want the Lord to have His way.
Amen.
Right.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
I just want the Lord to have His way. But then there's the pearl it creates. The peril, see, He said, the backsliding heart shall be filled with his own ways.
Yeah.
The Virginia Medical Monthly magazine, it carried an article that was really amazing to me. This article was, but it was about a lady that lived there in Virginia, and this lady, her husband died, and she had two teenage daughters. And after her husband died, she seemed to go through some kind of a little mental breakdown or some kind of a nervous condition. And they noticed that as the months went by, Brother Eddie, that she didn't dress like she used to dress, but she started dressing like them teenage girls. She started wearing the clothes they wear. She started acting like they act. She started going where they went. And instead of acting like their mama, she began to act like them teenagers. And believe it or not, there's a name for that. It's a condition. And it's called personality regression. What happens is that sometimes people, they regress back. Instead of going forward, they regress back into earlier years. I think I know some people that had that or got that. Because they was 50, 60 years old, and they was wearing miniskirts and halter tops and trying to look like somebody 13 or 14 years old. Hey, let me help you ladies out this morning. You don't look like a teenager when you put a short shorts on and get a tattoo on and a halter top on and you weigh over 300 pounds. You don't look like a teenager.
Amen.
Yeah. Men do that.
Yeah.
They do the same thing.
Oh yeah.
I'm joking around, but this is serious. Yeah. This is serious.
Yeah.
This really happened to this lady, and most people stop there. Most people they regress back just to one stage, to a teenager or whatever.
Right.
But this lady, she kept regressing back at the rate of several years every few months. And she finally died in a mental institution, and she went all the way back to thinking she was a baby, and she died curled up on the floor like a newborn baby. That's a true story. You say, what'd you tell that for? Because of some people that they regress back to where they started at. They regress back to the drinking again. They regress back to the fornicating again, the adultery again. They start regressing back to where God brought them from.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
All to tomorrow.
You might be a backslider if you fill yourself with your own ways.
Right.
You say, I don't get it, Brother Rick. Are you coming back to church tonight?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Right. Hey.
Hey, brother.
Hey.
You might. I don't want to be a backslider.
Hey, man.
I'm the only one I want to be, and I preached about it. I want to be saved, and thank God I am.
Amen.
But I don't want to be a backslider. Look in Jeremiah 2 and verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Have you forgot the Lord? You might be a backslider if you have forgotten the Lord days without number. You say, Brother Rick, that verse didn't say nothing about backsliding. Go to the beginning of the chapter.
Right.
And if you have a Scofield Bible, it'll say in the heading, the first message to backslidden Judah. This is all one message that Jeremiah preached to backslidden Judah. Amen.
Amen.
Please, God says, my people have forgotten me days without number. And I ask you this morning, have you forgotten the Lord on the Lord's day?
Amen.
Amen.
Forgotten the Lord on the Lord's day. Have you forgotten the Lord on payday?
Oh, me, brother.
Right.
You say, what do you mean? When you get paid, do you set God's portion apart. And you say, God, I wouldn't be able to have this,
right,
Lord, without you. So
right,
I'm giving you this. I know money always kills a meeting, but I'd rather have a snake right in the heart of it this morning. I want you to know that we ought to forget God. We ought to forget Him, Brother Eddie.
Amen.
We ought to forget Him on the Lord's Day. We ought to forget Him on payday.
Amen.
That's right.
We ought to forget Him on praise day.
That's right. Glory to God.
Amen.
What do you mean? I mean, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah, brother.
Amen. I want to praise the Lord more.
Amen.
I want to be like Psalms 34.
Amen.
Yeah.
Psalms 34 and verse 1, he said, I'll bless the Lord at all times.
Amen. Amen.
His praise shall continually be on my lips. Amen.
Amen.
That's the way it ought to be when we come to the house of God.
Yeah.
Most of us have been blessed this week.
Yeah.
All of us have, but some have been blessed more than others. Some of us hadn't been to the hospital. Some of us ain't needing to go to the hospital. Some of us have got places to live, cars to drive, clothes to put on. Some of us ain't been to the funeral home this week. Some of us, Brother Eddie, our hands work, our feet work, our eyes see. We can remember things. Some of us ought to praise the Lord for those that came to
serve.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let's look at her verse here.
Use him.
He says, can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? It's a surprise. You know the answer to that's no.
Right.
I've done weddings for the last 35 years, and I've yet to have a bride to show up without her clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
Most time they got them hung there in the Sunday school room even before they get here. Now I have had a groom forget his. I don't have time to tell you that story, and I'd be in a bad mood when I got done.
Bless the Lord.
But I'm telling you, a bride don't forget her dress.
That's right, brother.
Today you didn't forget yours.
Right.
Okay. Amen. You didn't forget yours. Okay, you forget yours? All right. See, the answer to that's no.
Right.
No, he said, that won't happen. He said, a bride will not forget it. She won't forget her ornament. She won't forget the jewelry. She won't forget the ring. She won't forget the makeup. She won't forget all those things, Brother Eddie.
Amen.
You say, why? Because they're important to her, boy. That's what she's thinking about.
Oh,
and God says, yet my people have surprised me because they've forgotten me.
Amen.
Oh, man.
In the world, could you forget God?
Right.
But you can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I understand how the world forgets God. They don't know God.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
I understand why they don't think about
God.
God.
That's right.
But you see, he gives specification here. He says, my people.
Right. Right. Amen.
Amen.
My people.
Amen.
Saved. Christians.
Yeah.
Love the
Lord. Those that know the Lord, and the Lord knows them.
Amen.
If you're saved, the Lord's never going to forget you.
That's right, brother.
Right.
And we should never forget the Lord.
Amen.
And he said, my people, he's saying my people that I brought out of Egypt, my people that have done miracles in their life, my people that have led them by a cloud by day and fire by night, my people that have sent bread out of heaven, my people that have given water, my people that have took care of them, my people, how can they forget me? Amen.
On eagle's wings, brother.
God's done so much for us.
Amen.
We forget him. You know, I think we've probably all done this. I have done it in church. I have been in church and all at once realized that I ain't even been thinking about the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
And you know, you can sing the songs and
right.
Not even be thinking about the Lord.
Yeah.
Might be somewhere else, yeah.
Amen. You can listen to such good lesson and not even be thinking about the Lord. Now that might be for an hour, a moment, or a few minutes, but see, the thing of it is, he said, they have forgotten me. My people have forgotten me days without number.
Right.
days without number. And I want to tell you that if you have forgotten God days without number, you have forgotten the Lord on the Lord's day. You have forgotten the Lord to praise the Lord in praising time. You have forgotten the Lord days without number. You better check up. You might be backslidden. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That's one of the purposes of reading that Bible.
That's
every
right.
day.
Right. Do you mind? Amen.
Right.
Reading that Bible every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Do you read your Bible every day?
Yes. Amen, brother.
What do you do every day?
Right.
You need to take some of the things that you do every day.
Bless you, Lord.
And replace them with what you don't do every day. And you need to take time to read the Word of God every day. It'll help you. Right. It'll help you.
Amen.
Yes.
You say, I don't think I got anything out here. Oh, you'll get something. Just keep reading it until you do get something.
Right.
Yeah. Just go over it and over and over again until you do see something. Amen.
Amen.
Ask the Lord to show you something. Ask the Lord to give you something out of it. Amen.
Amen.
Get anything out of that TV? You're glued to other than depressed?
That's good, brother.
Yeah.
That's good.
Get anything out of that other than watching people fornicate?
Right.
You get anything out of that except kids learning bad habits and
right.
bad things?
Yep.
Right. Communication.
I'm telling you, listen, he said, they have forgotten me days without number.
Yeah.
I doubt if there's anybody here that knows who Robert Robertson is. But you'll know what he did. Mike and Carolyn, they sing this sometimes. I try to get Nathan and them, they're trying to learn it. And I love this song, tried to get the kids to learn it when we went up to Camp Glory. It's a wonderful song. It's one of my favorite songs, Come Thy Fount. And the man that wrote that song, his name was Robert Robertson. My, what a song.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I hear that song, it moves me to tears almost every time. Great song. But would you believe that Robert Robertson that wrote that song, later on in life he backslid, digressed, went back into sin, and he was so away from God, he was so distraught and distressed that he decided to travel abroad. And as he traveled abroad, he met a lady that he liked. And they began to spend some time together and converse and talk together. And after just a day or so, he realized she was a wonderful Christian.
Praise the Lord. Hey.
And she pulled the papers and talked one night out of her purse. And she pulled a paper out and she said, I love this song. And she said, have you ever heard this song?
Bless the Lord.
Hey.
He pulled that song out. It was Come Thou Fount.
Yeah.
And he began to weep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to cry.
Right.
And to say, oh, that I was back where that I was with God when I wrote that song.
Remember how it was, yeah.
And the wonderful Christian lady, she quoted him a line out of that song about the streams of mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And Robert Robertson got right with God.
Amen.
And he found out that God still loved him, brother.
Yeah.
He found out that even though we might digress back, even though we might find ourselves forgetting God, God won't forget us.
Mercy from here
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Play bolts another
Amen.
One.
That's right.
Look in Jeremiah 3, in verse 11. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel has justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Now, to tell you what that verse is saying, what it's saying is Israel was saying, we're not as bad as Judah. Judah's worse than we are. And you say, You might be a backslider if you forevermore are trying to justify your actions. You're trying to justify your condition. And you won't admit the fact, yes, I've slid back. Yes, I'm not what I used to be. Yes, there's been a change in the wrong direction.
Right.
Oh, I've talked to them by the hundreds. They'll say, oh, I'm all right, preacher.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you go to church? No, I haven't been to church, but I'm all right. Have you read your Bible? No, I haven't read my Bible in months, but I'm all right. I'm all right. Is there something wrong? Is there a problem with someone in the church? Is there a problem that needs to... Oh, no, preacher. Everything's all right. You see... The backslider, he always or she always tries to justify the fact that everything's all right. Look in chapter 2 and verse 35. Chapter 2, verse 35. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. I have not sinned. You know, nobody could ever get help until they're willing to admit there's a problem.
Amen. That's right.
You can't help an alcoholic.
Right.
As long as he says, I'm not one.
Right.
Everybody knows he is one.
Right.
You can't help a drug addict. As long as they say, I'm not hooked, I don't have a problem. Half the world today is hooked on pills.
Right.
Well, Epp says the world calls them dope. We get in church and get saved, we call them prescription. Same thing.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen to me. As long as you say, I don't have a problem, can't help your marriage.
Yes. Right.
Yep.
Right.
No help. Can't help your kid, no help. Can't help your backslide, no help. As long as you say, I'm okay, I don't have a problem.
Right.
I don't have a problem. Did you know on your car, you got little lights or alarms? I hate them alarms. I hate them with passion. I hate all this stuff every time you get out of the car. You know, everything locks, everything is. I've locked my keys in the car so many times, it ain't even funny. I hate them bells. You don't have your seatbelt on, I don't want a seatbelt. I'm just going down to the mailbox and back up. I don't want it on. You're about out of gas. You're about out of gas. Well, that one's pretty good. I've run out about 10 times. But all them alarms, you know. I just liked it when right before the engine blew, one light would come on. You're out of all. Back then, brother, when a light come on, you better be getting to the side of the road or somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Then they got today. That truck out there, I drove that thing 6 years. With a check engine light on. I took it out 3 times, $30 each time. Before I got it halfway out of the garage parking lot, it's back on. You know what one mechanic told me? I took it back. I said, man, I've done paid you $60 and this thing comes on before I get a mile down the road. He said, the woman just take the bulb out. Probably another 100. I drove that thing, had about 200,000 miles on it. I'm going to North Carolina, and all at once I look and that light goes out. Praise God. I don't know if that thing's got a reset on it where after 200,000 miles it resets itself and what. I know before 2 miles down the road it came back on. And I finally got that thing out this year. I took it up here to Louisville, and Brother Junior was here preaching, he got it out, and I said, thank you, but it'll be back on, and it ain't come back on yet. He may have took the bulb out, I don't know. But I drove that thing 5 years with that light on, no problem.
Praise the Lord.
But you see, what I'm saying is, when them old ones light come on, something was wrong.
Amen.
God's put indicators in us when we got saved.
Right.
It lets us know something ain't right.
Amen.
You don't enjoy the services like you used to.
Yeah.
You never feel like giving your testimony anymore.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
You don't have a desire to go to the house of God anymore.
Oh, man.
You don't witness the people and give out tracts like you used to.
Right.
You see, these are all indicators that God's given us, and God's saying something's wrong.
Amen.
You need to get in and get a little tune up before you have to have a complete overhaul.
Amen.
You know, Don Barnhouse was a great preacher, and he told about a man in his church was a traveling man, and he went to Paris. And while he was over there, you know, they're famous for their perfumes and fragrances. And he bought his wife a very, very expensive bottle of perfume. And he brought it back to her, and she loved it. And she loved it so much, she set it out on her little makeup table there where everybody could see it. And people often commented on it. They knew it was very rare and very costly. And she liked it, and she wore it, and she used it until it was all used up. But she kept the bottle. One day she was going to a special engagement. And she liked the smell of that perfume so much that she got that empty bottle, and she took a handkerchief and she stuffed it down in there and put the top on it, just left it in there all day long, and there was still enough smell in there that it got some of the fragrance on the handkerchief, and she could put it on her clothes and it still had the smell, and people still commented. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying some people have done used up all they had. All you got's a little fragrance left. But what you need, you need God to fill the bottle up again.
Amen.
He said he told that illustration, preaching a meeting. He started walking over to the motel where he was staying, and you know, two ladies in front of him was talking about the sermon. You know, people talk about the sermon.
Oh, me, brother.
Yes, people talk about the sermon. Makes a good dinner conversation. Rose preacher, barbecue preacher, fried preacher. You see these ladies walking in through there, and he heard one lady say, you know, I've got a bottle of perfume just like that. And he said, and she said, but you know, she said, I've never even took the top off of it.
Oh, me.
And when he heard that, he walked up behind him and he said, ladies, I couldn't help but hear what y'all were saying. And he said, you gave me a better illustration than even the one I used.
Yeah.
And she said, what do you mean? He said, there's a lot of Christians that got saved.
Yeah.
They got the fragrance there, but they keep it closed up.
Yeah.
They never take the top off at work.
Yeah.
They never take the top off at school.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some of you would be a good undercover agent.
Yeah.
You work for 20 years, and they still don't know you're Christian.
Right.
Amen.
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 Amen, brother. Good preaching.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Shall I do with this, Jesus?
Look here, we finish up this morning. Look at the proclamation in verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backslidden Israel, saith the Lord. You see, God, He makes a proclamation there, and He says, go and tell. That's what I've done this morning. I came and I told.
Amen.
I told.
Right.
Look at God's prescription in verse 13. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under evergreen tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, old backslidden children.
Yeah.
Look at the promise in verse 22. I will heal your backsliding.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. How about that?
Amen. Great position.
Amen.
Brother Charlie?
Yes, sir.
God heal my backsliding. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, I told him other Sunday night, I said, if it wouldn't, or maybe it was last Sunday, I said, if it wouldn't, if I were going by the change in my life, I'd tell people I got saved down Brotherhood Church when I rededicated my life. Brother Ed, I didn't get saved down there. I got saved in Temple Hill Baptist Church.
Amen.
But here's my point. Sometimes people will do more for God after they come back to the Lord than they do whenever they first knew the Lord.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That is so true. Many times I've seen that happen. Amen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just saying you might be.
Yeah.
But the Lord will let you know if you are, if you ain't.
Yes.
Right.
If you really want to know, if you really want to get honest, if you really want to get help, God will let you know.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know why people want to stay away from the Lord.
Bless him.
I don't know why people just want to straddle a fence and get halfway in, halfway out. You can't enjoy either world.
Right, right.
Oh, you'd never go to a party, get drunk. You'd never fornicate or commit adultery with somebody else's wife. You'd never do nothing like that. But you're just not going to sell out to the Lord.
Right.
Just be at the Lord's house at the appointed times. Just give each day to the Lord. Just dedicate yourself to the Lord. So you can't enjoy the world out there, what there is to enjoy for a little while. There is a little enjoyment out there for a short while. But you won't get in church either, and so you don't really enjoy this. You may be here because your wife made you come.
Oh, man.
Maybe you're here because you felt guilty. You hadn't been a while. But you're not really enjoying it. Because see, you can't really enjoy it until you really get in.
Amen.
You really love it. Amen.
Amen.
You really want it. You really desire it. Amen.
Amen.
And then church gets to be a thing that you look forward to.
Right.
Not something you feel like, oh Lord, we got to go back up there again. It's Sunday.
Yep.
No. I just wish folks would just sell out to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I wish folks would just examine ourselves and be honest with ourselves and say, I'm not what I was, and I'm not going to be satisfied till I get back where I was and even beyond that.
Amen.
Right. It's possible.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Very probable.
Yeah.
You seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find Him.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Lord, I thank you this morning. I appreciate the liberty and the presence that you give me, the Lord, to preach this morning. I believe you've done what I asked you to do. Before I started preaching, I asked that you come and speak through me instead of me doing it. I believe you have. Lord, I believe, worked here today. God, help us to be honest today, but help us to not be like Israel, even though we are like Israel. But help us, Lord, to come to you and let God begin to heal our backslidings and draw us back closer to Him. Put the joy down deep in our heart again.
Yes.
Help us today, Lord, I pray.
Yes.
Lord, if there's somebody here today, they're not backsliding because you can't backslide if you've never been saved.
Right.
But maybe today God's revealed that to them. I pray they'll come today and get in.
Yeah.
We'll be careful to thank and praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand if you would please. And make this a song. And if you mind the Lord and do what He wants you to do, He'll be pleased with it today.
Number 105.
Song.
backsliding, you just quit rolling. You just quit putting as much effort in it as you did. You're still facing the right way, but you're just back, back, back. One of these days, you'll be from outside. One of these days, you'll wake up, you'll be way down in the far country. Amen. I get a letter very often from a young man up at LaGrange Prison. His name's Nicholas. He made it out soon. God has done a great work in his life. God is working in his life. But I remember it just like it was yesterday. The building was full. Dick stood back there. In the very back there where Wilbur is, with the Kearney. And I preached that morning on when will prodigals come home. And Nick wept and cried, and God dealt strongly with his heart. And I saw souls praying he'd come forward. He didn't come forward. Just days, weeks after that, a terrible, terrible thing happened. Drinking, wrong place, wrong time, wrong people. A man told Nick, said, I heard your mother died. He said, yes. He said, good. She was no good anyway. What man would go crazy at something like that? Nick flew into a rage, and he beat that man to near death. He got convicted. The man died later. He's been doing time. But Eddie,
bless my brother.
I thought so many times. Wonder what it'd been like if he just stepped out that morning and come down to God that day. Wonder what it'd been like.
That's right.
Folks, don't play around with the Spirit of God.
Yes.
He says you need to come, you need to come. Because everything could change.
Oh, yes.
By this time next week, I pray God it don't, but it could.
Oh, yes, brother.
Brother Nathan sang one more verse today. Is right where they need to be with God.
Amen, brother.
Except Jack. God bless you, Jack.
Yes.
For obeying the Lord. Word on anyone's heart this morning before we dismiss.
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me, Brother Rick. I'd like to thank him, Bill, be here today. It's a great message. I wish America could have been here today because it's in that category too. It used to stand 10 foot tall for God and right. God evangelized the world with this country and say what you want to about it, but it's been used mightily of God, but I appreciate the message today.
Bless you, brother. I don't want anybody else today for the testimony today.
Brother
Rick. Yeah, go ahead.
Every week I buy teaching that class, and as I've gotten older, sometimes I use the excuse of I just don't feel like doing some of the things that I used to, and it's just an excuse.
Bless you.
And I could do more in there than what I'm doing. So I desire your prayers to help me do a better job.
Bless your heart, Corey.
Thank God for saving me. Thank God where he brought me from.
Yeah.
Family. It's just so good to me. I'm so
Amen.
Love to give me. Thank you for the friends he's put in my life this year.
Yes.
I just love the Lord. Thank you for what he's
done
for
me. Amen. Bless your heart.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Bless you. Bless you, brother.
Thank you, Lord, for church and pray for me.
Bless your heart. Yes.
People showed up to help me.
Yes.
Still got a ways to go. God's been good to me.
Amen, brother Bill.
I got no complaint. Whatever happens, happens. Yeah, I always love the Lord.
Amen. Amen. We had prayer last night. Brother Bill came to prayer. We had several men out. And he was really didn't even need to be here. He was so weak and sick that when we got done, he was down on his knees. I literally had to get him up. He just kind of went out, really. And he said, Brother, when I got him up, he said, Brother Rick, I shouldn't have even come. And I said, Bill, God will bless your effort.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
God will bless your effort.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. God bless you, Bill. Bless your heart. Somebody else. Yes.
I used to think that I was saved when I was 36, and but now I realize I was saved when I was 12. I was attending Happy Home Baptist Church, a little country church, and my parents didn't go to church, so we were picked up by neighbors. So I was like a bus kid.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to them.
Amen.
Yes.
So I remember getting saved. My parents did show up for the baptism. It was at Loon Lake there. But after I became a teenager and my parents divorced, and my life just went bad.
Bless you. Bless you.
And at 36, I came back to the Lord. I thought I got saved, but now I'm understanding. You know, I was backslidden. And I changed so much. I'm not the same person I used to be.
Bless you.
And now I'm probably seen as very stubborn, very opinionated. But I have convictions now. Nothing will shake me.
Amen.
Bless you. Bless
you. I think what backsliding will do.
Yeah. Amen. That's true. Amen. All right, anybody else? Appreciate these good testimonies today. God bless your heart. Anyone else? All right, if all hearts are clear, we want you to turn around and shake somebody's hand. Be sure to pray for each other. Pray for the meetings.